Welcome, everyone. Can we hear me now? Yes. How many people, is this your first time perhaps at our library today? Anybody? A few newcomers? Awesome. Welcome. Well, I'm sure there's lots of local folks here today. We're really excited to have Ashley come back to Michigan. Ashley is a pioneer and University of Michigan graduate in 2013. And I had the pleasure of meeting her sister, Audrey, who she hasn't managed to see in 8 months, so I'm happy that she gets to come back. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, and there will be a chance for questions for folks in the back with a microphone. But let's start out with The King and I, which is the thing that you just really got going off of, and I know a lot of people want to hear about that, and then your other experiences with Mamma Mia and the upcoming Fantastics. So what would you say is the number one thing, like right now, I know you just got back from Europe too, that you're most excited about coming off of that experience on Broadway?
Well, I think I was really excited to not be doing a show 8 times a week. And so that's been really fun to have kind of a summer break. But yeah, it was a really big adventure, and it's been nice to have kind of a time to reflect on it all, because it was a crazy 2 years and a crazy few years after graduation, so that's always nice. I think that's why I've realized that we have summer breaks during school, is so that we can reflect on everything right. We learned and kind of refresh, so that's been nice.
So after you graduated from U of M in 2013, what was the thing that kind of took you at that point? What was the adventure, you know, that
from,
took you
from
to
the
Broadway?
University of Michigan?
Yeah, after graduating, and I know you just kind of plunged in.
Yeah, well, we have a really great, the University of Michigan has an excellent musical theater program, and one of the great things is about it is that we do a showcase in New York City. So the 20 or so of us who are in each class, we go to New York, and they put together a show featuring all of us, and we perform for all of the industry in New York City. So that's all the agents, managers, casting directors, directors. So they all come, and depending on the kind of reception you get, you sign with an agent or a manager, and then from there you just start auditioning. And for me personally, I decided to, right after graduation, make the move to New York and kind of settle there and audition. And I did various readings and stuff, and the first thing, my debut was Mamma Mia on Broadway. So yeah.
Okay. And how long did you do that?
I did that for 7 months. So I started January of 2014 with rehearsal, and then I left and went straight on to tour with Cinderella after that in like August or September.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long was the tour, and how many different places did you go?
I got to go. It felt like it was such a long period of time, but I only did the tour for 3 months, and that was a tricky thing. That's not really usual, but I had the unusual experience of getting both the tour and The King and I at the same time, and I had made a commitment to Cinderella, and that was a role and a show that I really felt like I wanted to do, and it was once you're kind of cast and you say yes to something, when you kind of renege it, no matter what the situation is, you kind of burn a bridge if you pull out of it without a good reason. So I really wanted to make that happen, and that's what I guess agents and managers are for. They figure out all the business parts of it, and so I was able to do both.
That's
the
great.
Tour and King and I. Yeah.
That's great. And what was there any particular things that happen when you're on the road versus being in a stationary location on Broadway?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So different.
Tour is such a crazy thing because, I mean, it's so fun. I don't think I it'd have to be a very special thing to do it again, but I was very lucky because it's crazy because, you know, you do 8 shows a week, so usually the standard 8 days a week schedule is you do 2 shows on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And your Mondays are your days off. So, and with tour, that Monday, your day off is your travel day. So either you're on a plane for 4 hours, or you're on a bus for 8 hours, or you're in So it's that's what's crazy. But I think what was so great was that that coming so soon after graduation, I was just so hyped up and ready to go. I was like, yeah, let's go to Florida.
Yeah,
let's go. And after I got back, I was just like so tired. But that's the fun of it, because you're getting paid to travel and see all these places and There's so many pros and cons to it, and I have lots of friends who ask, you know, should I go on tour with this, or what did you do? Should I stay in the city? And I totally think everybody should have a tour experience because why not travel and see America, and why not have? It's also so fun. After doing The King and I realize now that tour is so great because you get to do shows for audiences that aren't. The New York audience is very interesting, you know, because at first it's critics, and then it's all your friends, you know, it's people in the community. And so when you're doing it in Hodunk, Tennessee, everyone's just so happy to see Cinderella, right? So, like, like, I never did it in Tennessee, but, you know, but that kind of thing. So tour was super fun in that way. And I met some of my best friends on tour. And I actually went on tour with... I think four people that I went to school with, and they, and so that was super fun. It felt like we were just doing a university production at first, but, and some
of
my
best. And did you keep pinching each other?
Yeah. And some of my, you know, my best, my three best friends right now are all from that tour. In fact, I got so close with two of them on tour that I was their minister for their wedding in November. So on my resume now, on my special skills, I wrote ordained minister just because it's a great, like, topic starter. But yeah.
No, you're not doing that tomorrow at the wedding you're going to.
Yeah, no. No, I could, though. That was very fun.
That's awesome. Can you talk about just the process sort of from beginning to end with The King and I?
Oh, that's a long process.
You know, in terms of, like, just... when you started to think about it, when you found out about it, and just obviously the process going through auditions for such a production.
Yeah, I mean, I guess from the I see that you have a shirt. Did you come see it?
Oh, you bet.
Oh, really? I don't think I ever got a shirt. I should have bought one. Maybe I'll take you or I'll trade with you at the end of this. That was a crazy, you know, a lot of people... over the past, you know, year and a half or 2 years have asked me, do you wish that your first Broadway show had been you, like, starring in a show, like, this lead role, and, like, that to be... And I said, absolutely not. Like, I'm so glad that I had the experience I had in the ensemble of Mamma Mia and then in a supporting character on the road in Cinderella before this, because it was so exciting, but it was so... so much more pressure and so much, it was much more challenging than I think that I would have been personally ready for right out of school. It's kind of like, I compare it to like high school or college when you're a freshman, you kind of are like, what's going on? And it's nice that you don't have a lot of pressure or eyes on you. You're kind of safe to just grow until, and then by the time you're a senior, you're like, I kind of know the ropes. Yeah. I know what's going on. I know who is who. I know I'm not going to mess up anything. And so, and that was super nice going into it. My audition process, I was in Mamma Mia, and it was kind of unusual. I went in for the director and the casting director. It's very, New York, how it works is there's casting directors, and people get confused between that and directors. Casting directors, their job, and it's a huge, super important role, and is that they bring in people to audition. So they're kind of like the filter before you're seen before a team, and so their job is super important, and they're the ones who need to know who you are, because you don't even get an audition unless the casting director thinks that you should come in, so that's super important. And so my initial audition, I went in, I sang and did a scene, and that was like in June of 2014, and then later on, I heard back, and I got a call back for it, and when I got a call back, I had already gotten the role for Cinderella. And for me, being an Asian American as well in the industry, what was so exciting about Mamma Mia and about Cinderella was I was cast in roles that didn't have Asian in the description, you know, was completely based on merit and not based on what I look like, you know, and it was colorblind, and that's a huge thing now. So I was super excited about Cinderella, and I said yes right away, and I was ready to go and do that. But of course, if King and I came around, that was just, my dream was to work at the Lincoln Center, was to work with Bartlett Shear and these people, and to do a Rodgers and Hammerstein classic. That was like my dream in like 10 years. So the fact that this opportunity was even viable, I was so excited about. And so fast forward to like my second or third callback, the final one. And actually, it was just after the second one. And they said, it was midsummer, and they said, okay, so Ashley is our first choice for this role. we have to go to San Francisco and LA and Hawaii and also audition, so we can't formally give her an offer yet, which is totally understandable. But this, in the meantime, the Cinderella folks started rehearsal in September, and in order to get out of Mamma Mia in time to do Cinderella, I had to give a 4-week notice. So it went from having a job and having two possible jobs to, like, possibly having no job. If I quit this job, and then I quit the other one to try to get this one, but, like, who knows? And later on, the director of King and I was like, oh, we knew it was going to be yours from the beginning. And I was like, well, you could have told me that because it was so stressful. And so we went, and Cinderella, it would have been all okay if Cinderella had said, you know what, if you get King and I, we'll let you leave at any point. We'll let you leave 3 months in. But that's a huge no-no. If you are a role in a show, the contract is at least 6 months to a year, and that's binding. So once you sign the paper, that's that. So I knew that if I signed on for Cinderella, which I was so excited to do, I wouldn't be able to do King and I. And it's, what's that, like, analogy when the dog's looking in the reflection, he sees the bone and he tries to get... Is that a thing? No? Okay. Never mind. It's like getting greedy. Anyways, so... Long story short, they said, well, it's already been kind of long, but the King and I folks told my agents and managers, we were all in a room together, and they said, okay, sometime later on in the summer, we're going to call you, and we're going to, the other tricky thing about Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff is you have to be approved by all of Rodgers and Hammerstein organization, all the Lincoln Center people, like all of these people. It's not just like if the director likes you, you get the part. It's literally if the director and, like, every other person likes you, then you get it. So they said, at some point later on, we're going to call you in for approval to do everything. And I was like, great. Awesome. And so out of all weeks, of course, I had given my notice to Mamma Mia. And I was doing something called double duty. And that's when I guess people do it for money, but I was just like, I was sad about leaving Mamma Mia, so I wanted to do it an extra week. And so what I was doing was I was rehearsing Cinderella from 9 to 6, and I was going to Mamma Mia and doing that at night for a week. Because that's possible, you know, like once you start doing tech or once you start leaving for a tour, then I obviously can't do it. But so that was super fun for me because it felt like, I guess I'm a masochist. Like, who does that? Like, now that I think about it, you know? So that was the week, and I think I had done Mamma Mia at that point for 7 months, and I hadn't had a vacation, and I was, like, super sick. I was, like, had no voice. I was barely making it to Cinderella, but I didn't, you know, I had committed to this. And then that Wednesday of that crazy week, my agent called and was like, so they want to see you tomorrow morning for King and I. And I was like, wait, what? We haven't heard from them for a month. Also, when? Like, I don't have any time except for this 1-hour lunch break. And so they're like, well, you're going to go on the lunch break, and you're going to go all the way up to wherever. And so I was like, okay, I guess. I went to the doctor. I got, like, shots. I was like, someone give me antibiotics, like something. I'm so sick. But and so I went thinking that the next day, went to Lincoln Center, the basement, and I was so like, oh, my gosh, this building. And I was like, this is it. This is, like, the final day. I'm, like, going to get approved. I walked in. I saw the audition sheet. There was, like, 18 other girls. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I was just so confused, you know, because I was like, they're still auditioning people? I'm leaving for Providence next week. What's going on? And so I just was like, you know, you can't think about other people. So I just went in, did the stuff. Bart, the director, came out after me. He gave me this huge hug, and he was like, this is great, awesome, awesome. And I was like, what does that mean? I got to go back to rehearsal. So I went back to rehearsal, and then my agent called that afternoon and said, okay, so tomorrow is actually the final day, and you are the only person coming in. So it was actually for approval. And so I was like, that's awesome. Again, when? I have rehearsal at 9:30, and that night, after I had gone in at Mamma Mia, of course, I was an understudy in Mamma Mia, so I was in the ensemble every night, and then there was a character who had lines and stuff that I understudied, and that was the night that she decided to call out. So I had to go. I'm learning this new show. I had to go and then play this other girl's part, and I was like, oh, my God. I felt so drunk. And then, so I was like, it was the final day and for everything, and I was like, I can't go in. I'm not going to miss rehearsal. I committed to them. I'm not going to say I have to leave. And So they called me back and they said, okay, all of the people who have to watch you tomorrow, they're all going to come at 8:30 in the morning to watch you. And I was like, again, so you want me to sing at 8:30 in the morning? It was like crazy. But I was, you know, by that point, you know, anything goes. So I went at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the guy that, who's now one of my best friends, but he played my love interest in King and I. We had met the day before. He came in. He was also doing a show. And he was like, do you know why we're here so early? Why do this is so? I was like, it's very unusual to be early. And I was like, I'm so sorry. It's so nice to meet you. But we sang it, and we did. You know, I had to sing a song. Then he came in. We did a scene in a song. He left. I did a big monologue thingy, and then I was standing outside. And I'll never forget. You know, Bartlett, the director and the casting director ran out, and they're like, oh, okay, Comrade, come in again. And I was like, oh, they're definitely going to have us sing again. That was not cute. Like, that was so early. And we went in, and this doesn't happen usually because everything goes through the agents, but they're like, we just want to offer you the roles of Tuptim and Lunta, and would you want to come join us next year? And we were like, the only words I could say, I was like, good morning. Like, oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it because that's like, it's still very surreal because it's, like, it's like almost so nice of them to do that. It's silly. I was like, and it was such a long thing. And then I went right to rehearsal for Cinderella. And I remember standing by Adrian Baidu. He was my classmate at school. And I, like, was next to him. And he kind of knew what was going on. Everyone kind of knew that people, like, King and I was being auditioned and stuff. And I just, you know, you have to keep your mouth shut about stuff. But I went next to him, and I was like, I got it. And he was like, what? And I was like, wait. And I was like, shh, we'll talk about it later. But, yeah, so that was like, that long audition story. And
that's
then
amazing.
I went on the road, and then we started rehearsals in January for that.
And did you go on the road, like, immediately after that? Like,
yeah, so that was my last weekend with Mamma Mia, and then I started on the road. And what's unusual, I realize now about, because it's such a, you know, the team, the Lincoln Center team, they had been working on this revival for 8 years since South Pacific. Wow. There was, I found out later from the producer, Andre Bishop, he had a very vivid moment when he was watching South Pacific where he envisioned a woman with a sweeping, you know, Shall We Dance, the scene in King and I, like sweeping dress and everything on the stage. And he was like, we're going to revive the King and I. So they had been working on it for 8 years. So it's so weird to think about that, you know, the actors, at least we did, we came in at the very tail end. And usually shows, new Broadway shows, they do out-of-town tryouts. They do shows in other places. They do off-Broadway. They do readings and workshops. My first rehearsal was the table read rehearsing for Broadway. And now I realize how weird that was and how awesome that was. But it was also, that was like the most terrifying day of my life, probably, like one of them. Definitely the top five. The first read-through, because we all come in January. There's 51 people. It's the largest cast that's ever been on Broadway. We're all around this table, about the size of this room.
Wow.
And the director was like, great, we're just going to do it. Let's just read through it. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I have never been in this show or seen this show. Also, you want me to sing this song sitting at a table in front of everybody? That's so awful. But I think because we did that the first day, then we were kind of like, we got it all out. Ken Watanabe, the, you know, big movie star who is the king, he said he's never been so nervous in his life as that day. Because he's not a singer, you know, and he also doesn't speak English. So he was like having to say this like classic Rodgers and Hammerstein lines in front of all of us. And me, I'm like little Miss Nobody, like, oh my gosh, like what's going on?
It has to make you feel better though.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's another, it's so funny when so many people from different backgrounds come and put a show together.
And how long does, like, a read-through, how long did that take when you first sat down and did that?
Oh, like, you know, I guess, like, 3 hours. You know, okay. It's, you know, read-throughs are always the most fun because you just get to, like, say it all and you get to all envision it together. But everyone has their own imaginings of what it's going to be and then you don't, you know, before you put it on your feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were your other memories as far as, like, being that first? And you said you were with other people that you had graduated with as well in that production.
Which one? Cinderella.
In Cinderella, okay.
Yeah, no, King and I was alone.
So were there other movies?
I mean, I knew some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there out of that big group, though, there had to be some other folks that were in a similar experience to you and being brand new to all of it.
Yeah, it was interesting because it was a lot of people's Broadway debuts, but because of the demands of this specific show, you know, a lot of them We had 51 people, 13 were children, and like 20-something of them were dancers. And these are like, our lead dancer was a Martha Graham dancer that they found. She never sung a note in her life, you know, so that kind of thing. And then you have Kelly O'Hara, who's 6-time Tony nominated, like this, you know, amazing Broadway vet. Ken Watanabe, a huge cinema star who's never done a Broadway show, never done a musical in English.
Wow.
And then Ruthie and Conrad, who were the other two principals, it was both of their Broadway debuts. But they're in their 30s, and they've been in the industry and been, like, doing all sorts of stuff. But me and Conrad were asked in an interview once, oh, like, Conrad, like, have you learned stuff from Ashley? Because she's been on Broadway, and you know, like, this is your first time. We were like, that's such a ridiculous question because, like, Broadway is just, like, another, it's like a location for a show. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely a caliber and everything, but no matter what we are and where we're doing it, we're storytelling. So, but that was, yeah. So I think, for me, I definitely, age-wise, it was odd because either everybody was way older than me or children. So, like, a lot of my best friends were, like, the little princesses. We would, like, hang out. But then I was also expected to be, like, a leader in the company. And, the whole story revolves around, like, 5 people. And everyone else basically doesn't say anything. But it's so, the story is so reliant on the reactions to everything. So, so it was, like, a very, again, if I thought about it, I thought the whole time I was being punked. Like, every day I was like, they're going to tell me today that this is, like, I'm going to be fired or something. Like, it wasn't until I think we did, like, the cast recording and, like, my voice was, like, on the CD that I was like, okay. So, like, it's really my part. Like, I'm really doing it now. But, you know, I think the only way to get through something like that with something so much pressure as that is just by, like, not thinking about it. Just by doing it and doing your best. And I'm glad that's what happened.
Yeah.
I do remember vividly, though. This is being recorded, so it's fine. But I had never seen a show or been in the Vivian Beaumont Theater.
Ask you, yeah.
And have any of you been in the Vivian Beaumont? I'm sure you saw the show. Yeah. It's actually the Power Center. Our Power Center was modeled after the Vivian Beaumont. So if you've ever been in the Power Center, you know how it's kind of like feels like in the round and it goes up like that. So I felt like, so that was like a really cool thing because I grew up at the Power Center doing dance recitals and shows and knowing that it's modeled after some big Lincoln Center theater in New York City, you know. But and I had seen videos of shows there, but for some reason I'd never gotten a ticket to see a Broadway show there. And so Bart found this out. And so the first day of rehearsal, he was like, Ashley, come here, I'll take you upstairs. And they were like doing construction and it was so, it's huge. It's the coolest stage, I think, in the world because it's 6 wings. You know, wings are like the size of this. It's 6 wings. It's like a football field in the back, but the stage comes out, and it's a thrust. And a thrust is, if that's the stage, there's people on all sides of it except for the back. So once you get out there, it's super intimate. It feels like, you know, we're all in a room together like this, but then you have this vast space. So it was just like, oh my gosh. And so he had me go out into the seats with him and we were watching them construct and I was like, oh my gosh. And he was like, yeah, you can't fuck this up. he was like, don't fuck it up. And I was like, okay, so it's going to be that kind of rehearsal process. Great. And like, but he's like one of my dearest friends now, you know, the most supportive, lovely person. And I think it's because he knew right away that I could take that kind of, I mean, I can't imagine if he said that to some people, I think that they would, like, combust right there. But I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'll try not to, you know. So, but yeah.
That's funny. You said that you hadn't seen a production before you were cast. So did you watch one before you actually?
Of The King and I?
Yeah.
No, that was just so unusual because, you know, it's a classic. And I grew up on watching, like, The Sound of Music and these videos. And I knew the music from The King and I, but what was interesting is the 5 of us, the principals in the show, me, Ken, Kelly, Conrad, and Ruthie, none of us had ever seen a production of The King and I or been in it, which was very unusual, especially coming from, like, me, Kelly, like, we love Rodgers and Hammerstein. So it was very just random. And me and Conrad and Ruthie are all Asian Americans. You'd think that we would have been in a production or something like that. But it just so happened. And that was, like, the biggest gift of all because all 5 of us could really be, like, actors and really go to the script and just, like, figure out what the story was there and not have any preconceived notions of what it should be or what it's supposed to look like or, how we should be interacting mm-hmm. with each other. We could just build our relationships solely from the work that was given in the script and what we had from each other. The only King and I experience, I had two. We had the VCR of the cartoon version, which is just not normal version, but I, like, loved the cartoon. But I was like, wait, that person isn't actually evil? There isn't a talking white elephant? Like, what's going on? And then I got the CD from Susan Hurwitz, who's here, who runs the Pioneer Theater Guild. She had given me there was a recording done of, like, Julie Andrews and Lea Salonga and stuff, and they lowered all the keys for some of them. But she wanted me to hear the music from this, and so that was, like, the first recording I had of it. And I'd always loved, you know, some of the songs. So it was so crazy to sing some of the songs that I'd sung in auditions and school and in classes. Like, I Have Dreamed and stuff, like, with a 30-piece orchestra every night in front of 1,000-something people. Like, yeah. That was, like, really surreal. And it's now I don't think I could ever sing some of those songs, like, not having what we did in the back of my head, you know? It's weird to think of singing it in, like, a concert setting, which we actually, Brent Wagner, the chair of our department, of the musical theater department, he just retired this year. We did a huge reunion concert. Like, 400 alums came, and 100 of us cool. or something performed. And I was so honored to be in, like, a medley of his favorite songs, and one of them was I Have Dreamed. But let me tell you, it was so weird singing it on the Monday, the day off, with a microphone in a red dress next to a piano when I'm, like, like running around a stage with, like, vines and, like, stressed out every other day. You know, it's so weird to sing those songs yeah. out of context, but it's super fun, too. Yeah. yeah.
Well, since you mentioned Pioneer, mm-hmm. can you talk a little bit about growing up here and all of your experiences in the different theater yeah. and sort of what you also were so inspired by as a young person, you know, and what your favorites were? As you were, you know.
Yeah, no.
You mentioned Sound of Music, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I said to you earlier, like, I have vivid memories of, like, coming to this library in particular and, like, like doing, like, little book reports on, like, either, like, kangaroos or, like, Beethoven or something. Like, you know, like, it's yeah. so great to be back in Ann Arbor. But, yeah, I think I didn't even know musical theater was a thing or, like, anything until middle school. And I think I just followed my friends. Like, a bunch of them love doing musical theater. And have you heard of YPT, Young People's Theater? And I think I just followed them to an audition, was like, sure, I'll sing a song. I think I, like, maybe sang Happy Birthday. I don't know what I sang, but, you know. And then I kind of got the bug from there. Like, I did shows with YPT, and that was always, like, totally my happy place, but also, like, very extracurricular. Like, I, you know, played piano and danced growing up and sang, and I had a love for singing. The Westermans are here. Like, I was a huge choir kid in middle school and high school. And that's, and so I always had an interest in the arts. But it wasn't until I did musical theater at Pioneer High School, too, Pioneer Theater Guild. And that's where, you know, Susan has this program where the musical theater majors from the University of Michigan, they come and they direct us. And if it hadn't been for their encouragement and their persistence in mentoring me and telling me that this is something that I could do and should do, then I don't think that I would have ever thought of it as a career path. And I, there's a very very big shift, especially when I went to MPULSE, which is the University of Michigan Performing Arts mm-hmm. summer camp, and I did an intensive there, musical theater, and I was like, oh, this is, I understand tangibly how this could be a career and a life yeah. now, and I understand what a training program would be mm-hmm. in this, and I was diagnosed with cancer my sophomore year of high school, and when I came out of that, the one thing, like, I felt like I needed to do and I wanted to do was do theater. And I recently, over the past year, when as I've talked about it, I've realized more and more why that would be the case. I think for a couple reasons. After I had leukemia, and I was diagnosed the December of my sophomore year. And once I got out, you know, they're like, you know, you should probably stay back a year and definitely don't go around people and stuff like that. Like, not theaters. Those are gross and disgusting. But but for a few reasons, I think when I went back to school in the fall, I was the girl who was bald and who had cancer, you know? And just as when I walk into an audition room now in New York, I never want to be the Asian girl. I want to be the girl who's super sweet or a great singer or nice or smart or witty. I never want to be categorized as something, you know. And so I think now that I think about it, I didn't want to just be the girl who had cancer. So what was crazy and awesome about theater was that I could put on a wig literally and be somebody else. And that was just like super, it was just super fun for me to do. And I think also my protocol with leukemia, the specific protocol that I had, I was required to be in a room by myself for 8 months, you know? And so that kind of, I love people and I love being mm-hmm. around people. And so what felt so natural to me coming out of the hospital was that, you know, in a theater, you're just constantly surrounded by people. You're performing with, collaborating with, performing for people. And so that was just like the place that I wanted to be, because I was just constantly, there was always somebody to talk to, always something to do. And so, yeah, so that's how that kind of led me to that. And the shows at Pioneer Theater Guild, through the experience of that and the, the experience of that, I ended up at the University of Michigan, and that's that.
And do you think, too, it sounds like the direct contact with the students at that program?
Oh, absolutely.
Really,
and they're still,
you know,
some of my dearest friends. Yeah. It was so weird at this reunion concert to have people that I went to school with and people who are in my grade and the people who I went to school with who are older, and then there was like a 4-year gap, and then like all, like a bunch of other people who I was super close with because they had been my like older brothers and sisters, and now we are all performing on a Broadway stage together. It was
That's
super
awesome.
Cool. But I mean, they really, the mentorship program at Pioneer is like huge. And I actually, when I was at University of Michigan, I came back and I directed.
That's
and
awesome.
That was like one of the biggest experiences of my life in Ann Arbor too.
Yeah.
Coming back to direct and any of that stuff. So,
well, I know during your illness too, you also, your family, you got to go through the Make-A-Wish Foundation and get to see your first show.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Can you talk about that a little bit? It was The Lion King that you went, is that correct?
Yeah, they actually
was that, and you got to choose, obviously, because that's the
right. No, actually I didn't choose the shows. I'm so glad with the shows that they picked. I had never once I was in remission, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, I'm sure you've heard of, they grant wishes for people, patients with life-threatening illnesses and when survivors as well. And we had a family friend or a kid that I did theater with. His mom was kind of the guardian angel of the region.
Okay.
And so she took really good care of us. And I had never been to New York City. And I was like, if I want to do this, I want to go see a Broadway show. And so that was just my wish, just to see a Broadway show in New York City. And they full out, you know, they flew out my entire family. We watched four Broadway shows.
Wow.
Lion King, Wicked, Spring Awakening,
Wonderful.
And Chorus Line.
Wow.
Just a great, you know. We stayed at an amazing hotel.
That's awesome.
We did college visits. We, like, went everywhere via limousine. But I will say that then, like, coming to New York and moving here, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is nothing. Like, I mean, I'm not going to be in a limo in a hotel.
No.
Like, real life is not this.
It's a very different experience.
Yeah. But
harder work.
So that was, like, super, that was amazing because that's, you know, then that became tangible of, like, this is where I want to live and I'm going to live. And so it was very, I know the Broadway community was very moved by that. That was, like, my wish. And then fast forward years and I was there. Yeah. So
like how many years later after that was it?
I'm not a math major. Yeah. So what was it? Like, I guess
just
like
a
seven,
few.
Eight, seven
okay.
years, 8 years?
Okay.
No, 8, 9? Oh my gosh, I don't know. What was that?
Also, just were you in any other productions locally? I know you did most of it was at Pioneer, but then were you in any other of our local?
I mean, I did Young People's Theater, I did, and then to Pioneer Theater Guild, I did a lot of shows there.
Yeah.
And then University of Michigan, so I did shows up North Campus and Power Center. I did dance recitals when I was, like, really little at Power Center. Yeah, so, you know, but there's still, that's the amazing thing about Ann Arbor, and I feel like I'm so grateful that my parents raised me here, was that there's just constantly, like, countless, like, concerts and piano recitals and this and that I did, you know, like Carrytown, mm-hmm. so many different things that you can go watch and be in. So that was huge, yeah.
What advice would you have for, because there's a few young folks in here who might be doing local theater here now if they want to get on the same track as you are? What's your best piece of advice for them?
Advice?
Yeah.
I think that it's very helpful to go to a training program, yeah. Like to go to school for it if they want to make a career out of it. But I think just honing the skills and like working on being smart too. Like that's such a thing in New York City. It's amazing how often it's surprising for somebody that you work with if you're smart and a nice person, because that's two of the biggest attributes that people like to, you know, mm-hmm. work with. And so that's just like the most important thing, to be yeah. nice and to be smart and to be kind.
Yeah.
And then talent as well, of course. But
yeah. Of course.
I mean, I guess. But, you know, like.
How is your health now?
Great.
Yeah. Awesome. Are you yeah. involved in any leukemia-based causes, or are you do anything with that now?
Yeah, you know, I would like to be more. I did a thing for a little while in New York. I worked at a hospital. They had actors come and like for medical students and be, you know, have different mm-hmm. scenarios, like, I don't know, with your, you know, and then they practice for 20 minutes on how, and then you grade them. Like, you were so antisocial here. Like, you should have smiled more here. Like, that was a horrible way, you yeah. know. And for me, that was interesting because I got to combine my experience with, like, doctors and medical students here. And then also with that. But I think my goal for a while was just to get to a point where you could meet me on the street and nobody would have any idea that I had that experience. But that it would make sense after they found yeah. out. And I would, of course, like to, I think, right now, I've just been kind of trying to survive in New York City, but I would definitely like to get more involved with stuff like yeah. that. Yeah.
Well, before we turn it over, my final question is, do you want to talk a little bit about what's coming next? I know you're going to do the Fantastics in Pasadena.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's that going to look like?
I actually think Fantastics, it's another one that I love the music to and the score. It's the longest running show that's ever been. It's still running off Broadway. It's a score that I've loved. My piano teacher, Renee Robbins, growing up, her favorite musical, and she's like, I would love for you to play this one day. And you know, I got to a point where it's definitely like a younger role. I was like, oh, I'm reaching the age now where it'd be weird if I played, you know. But I've also never seen the show or been in it, mm-hmm. so I'm super excited for that. I'm to do this kind of part, and so I'll be going to Pasadena Playhouse. It's their 100th anniversary,
That's
and they're
cool.
actually working with the. The writer of it too. They've rewritten some of the lyrics and the scenes and stuff, so that's super exciting. So that kind of just fell into my lap a little bit, like the last couple weeks of King and I, and I was super excited about it because going to LA and the West Coast is something that I've wanted to explore as well, and I have a wonderful base of family and also friends out there, and my agents and managers are also bi-coastal, so it'll be a great 2 months to kind of like dip my toes in what it would be like to live in LA. I'm still, you know, I feel like I've just made New York City my home, okay. so I don't plan on leaving yeah. too soon. But you never know, I guess. So, yeah,
that's
so
exciting.
I'll be doing that. I yeah. fly out on Monday morning.
And how many performances rehearsals. A week will you be doing?
8 shows a week.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that'll wow. be different because what's fun about that is, you know, we rehearse for like a month and then we perform for like 5 weeks, you know,
okay.
a month. So it'll be, I'm calling it a showcation. I was like, the other day I was talking to my friend, I was like, I've been telling all my LA friends, oh my God, I'm coming to California, we're going to have yeah. so much fun. And I'm like, wait, shoot, I got this script in this corner. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so much. Like, what am I talking about? I'm going to be a hermit again.
That's
I've been
fun.
Very much a hermit for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my friends have been very understanding in New
yeah.
York.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll manage to squeeze it in a little bit.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, yeah. But, no, they would come. I had a lot of friends be very sad. I kind of dropped off the face of the earth a little bit. And just because the role, the particular role and the demands of the role that I had in King and I were of such that I just, like, couldn't talk during the day or yeah. else I wouldn't have the voice for the evening. And all of them would be a little bit like, until they came to the show and they're like, oh, you, like, get whipped and you die. Yeah,
right.
you should probably not, like, party with us at a club tonight. Mm. Like, if you have to, like, get up at noon
yeah.
and sing, like, a song.
Yeah. yeah.
So,
wow.
That's been good. Yeah.
Well, we are recording this event, so if anyone has questions, we need you to come to the back with the microphone, or Tim is moving it up. And while we have a quick little break, if you happen to be playing the Summer Game at the Library is huge. We have a very appropriate game code for today's event. dubbed him. People play, get
points. You spelled
points.
It right. It's so yes. funny. People are like, oh, my God. My best friends would come to the show and be like, oh, my gosh, like, Toop Team or, like, Toomy or, like, Toom Dom. We're like, oh, my God, so many.
That's so funny.
I think it's really funny, yeah.
Does anyone have any questions? Come on up to the microphone. We can drink some water. Here we go.
I'll start it out, Ashley. We went to Showcase this year.
Oh, yeah?
And just watching the life of, like yourself, mm-hmm. Has been a whole new world for me. What happens to an actor or actress in New York once you get beyond the stage door? Do you fall into the mob that are working their way through the street and people not recognize you, or suddenly are people recognize you? And how mm-hmm. do you adjust to that sort of activity?
Yeah, it's on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's super fun. The cool thing about two things. The cool thing about doing a show in Times Square, that's where Mamma Mia was, is that you have this like entire community of like all of your friends who are working on Broadway shows are like literally like it's like you're all your workplaces in one neighborhood. So that's super fun. But that what's interesting about that is, especially when I walk through Times Square now, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's that person, you know. But everyone's just incognito. Like, you go, you sign your programs, you say hi to people, and then like everyone like gets on the subway and gets home.
Wow.
So that's the difference between, and so versus like on tour, you're with the same group of people, 30 or so people all the time. So whether even if their families are visiting or whatever, like you see these people day in and day out, you hang out with them, you eat with them, everything. Versus a Broadway show, kind of you just, that's your work, and then like you can hang out with people in your cast, or you can just never see them except for the 3 hours at the theater. Mm. I think at Lincoln Center it was a little bit different because the geography of it is, Lincoln Center is the only Broadway theater that's like in the West 60, so it's like 20 blocks above everything else. And like the Lincoln Center Plaza, if you've ever been, it's just this gorgeous, I'm sure you've seen pictures, like this fountain, and the Metropolitan Opera is right there, the Met Ballet is right there, ABT, and then the Lincoln Center Theater, which has three theaters, including the Vivian Beaumont. And so like if you walk in the plaza, I just like walking there, I feel a lot cooler than I actually am. Like, you just feel like an artist because you're like next to like the opera and everything. But so coming out of that stage door and being around that area, I think people who are hanging around that area before or after the show know what shows are going on. And so maybe that would be, I'd be more recognizable in that setting. But yeah, it's just, it's very much a job, you know? And not in a bad way at all, but it's always refreshing and also funny to me to have friends come to the show or anybody come to the show and like, oh my gosh, glamorous life, like dressing room, like all this stuff, it's so glamorous, you know. And it's our daily, you know. Yeah. And that doesn't take the fun out of it, but it's also just makes it more of a reality than a
Does anyone else have any question? Come up to the mic.
First of all, my daughter and I saw you perform a year ago.
A year ago? Who was the kid? When was it?
This was June of last summer.
Oh, okay. So the original
and
cast.
We met you at the stage door. You aren't going to remember us.
Oh, yes. You. No. I think I do. Yeah.
Anyway, and we saw you perform a lot at Pioneer Theater Guild. So it was really a thrill for us to see you perform. You were magnificent, and
thanks.
You know, there's a feeling of pride for us to see someone from our hometown.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you. It was terrific. What was it like living in New York? And what borough did you live in, and what was that experience like compared to Ann Arbor?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, Ann Arbor, what's amazing about it is I don't think I ever drove on the freeway except to get to the airport until I was like maybe like 17 or something like that. Like, we just never have to leave, right? Everything's like within 20 minutes of everything else. Like, I just never had to leave this area, and I never wanted to. There's so much going on. And even when I went to college here, like, what do you have to leave for? So going to New York was definitely, what was nice about, I had, throughout the summers in college, I had made trips there and everything like that. And I started out living in, I subletted, you know, as people do, like, in Astoria and stuff. And it's so funny to think. It feels like years ago that was the case. I'm so – the best decision I've ever made was moving into the studio that I live in now, and it's it happens to be super, it's like 4 blocks from the Lincoln Center, which is like so great, but also now I'm late to everything else that requires a train because I've only been like 4 blocks from work. But and I never thought that I would ever want to live alone, just because I'm like scared of the dark, and also, and I just like having people around. But but being in this show with the demands, it was like kind of vital for me to be able to go home and just like not talk and kind of just have my own space. So that's where I live now. But in terms of New York City, it's I don't think I ever told my parents this story, and I'm going to right now. But this is my first like subway experience in New York City. It was the day before Showcase. So you said you saw the Showcase the day before. It was like my second day in New York. I just moved. I bought my one-way ticket. I was living in Astoria. And how the subway works is there's all these different colored lines and everything. And I had only ever ridden on like the blue line or the red line on the west side. And to get to Astoria, which is Queens, which is like a, because you know Manhattan's an island, another one, I had to just ride the subway out to the, you know, the end of in Queens, and it was the yellow line, and I was like, all I know is that I'm in the last stop on the yellow line. It's above ground. It's super great, whatever. So I'd only made the trip like once before. I have Showcase tomorrow. I'm feeling great. I like went to an audition. I'm gonna go home, like whatever. And so I got on the train. I put in my headphones, and I was like, I know it's the last stop on the train. Great. So I get, it's like 45 minutes, an hour later, and we get to the last stop, and I was like, we're underground right now. This is, something is wrong. And I had gotten on the wrong train. I'd gotten, which is like fine. You know, I had gotten on the R train instead of the N or the Q, which is the one I had to get on. So I was like, you know what? Life is good. It's fine. I'm just going to ride the train back and then like transfer and get onto the other one, and I'll be home. I so the train doors close, everyone's off the train, and the train, instead of going back to where we had come from, it started going to where the trains go to die for the night. You know what I'm talking about? So like underground, like they line up all the subways for like cleaning, like in the dark. And what did I just say? I'm scared of the dark, right? So I was like, whoa, what's going on? And like the lights kind of turned off and dimmed, and then I think I had just seen Phantom of the Opera, and I was like, the Phantom of the Subway is like coming to get me. And I was like, oh, and you know, underground, you have no cell service. I never told you guys this. I totally forgot until now. I had no cell service. So I'm like trying, I'm standing up, I'm looking down, there's like nobody anywhere, and I'm trying to get cell service. And I like emergency call 911. I was like, what is this, like, what is this iPhone good for? And so I was like, should I pull the emergency brake? But then if I pull it, then if they do start it the other way, it won't go. So I was like, okay, so this is just where I'm going to, like, die. It's fine. Like, that's it. And I was, like, pretty calm about it. I was like, I guess I'm good in, like, life crisis moments. I had, like, an Apple, and I, like, was like, I have phone memory. I'll just play, like, Tetris or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I just stayed there. And then eventually I saw, because it was dark, too. I don't even know what that was. And then eventually, like, 20 minutes later, longest 20 minutes ever, I saw like a cleaning man, like five in his like orange jacket, because I saw like a reflection, and I was like, oh my god, human. So I like took my iPad and I like waved it like in the dark, and he finally saw it, and he got close, and I was like, oh my god, what if he murders me, like we're alone here. So the only metal thing I had, I took out my eyelash curler, and I was like, if worst comes to worst, I'm gonna use my eyelash curler as my, like, because again, it's New York City. I was like, I should have gotten like pepper spray or something, but it's totally fine. So, and then he eventually was like, we're going to go back the other way, you know. So like 20 minutes later from that, we went back, and I'm in like Hoedunk, Queens, and this like family comes on, and I was like so glad to see them. But yeah, I made it to Showcase, but that was the next day. But so like, so that's like a New York story, you know what I'm saying? Like that was awful at the time, but like I learned, like I never got on the wrong yellow line train again, you know, but like, but you know, it's much more, it's cool because it feels much more manageable. I just went to Europe for the first time. I had never gone. And so I was like, before my next, I'm just going to, you know, go. And I went with a friend, and it would, like, being in, like, a city like Barcelona, I think it would have been so scary before, but I was like, oh, I totally get, like, there's different pockets, and you manage it, and this is how the metro works, and stuff like that. So I think living in New York City has made me able to manage other places so much better, and what's great about it is there's always someone and something happening, but What's been important for me to realize in New York is you have to be able to, like, come back to your space and, like, shut it down for a little bit and, like, recalibrate and refresh before you go back out into the electricity of the city. But, and it makes me appreciate coming back home, you know, to, you know, Ann Arbor so much more and stuff. But, yeah.
Any other questions? Awesome. Well, thank you, Ashley.
Oh, hi. Well, hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What's up? I was just wondering how you managed to book your first show, Mamma Mia. Like, how did you find out about the audition? Uh-huh. Was it like a cattle call type of situation? Just walk us all through it.
Yeah. No. Oh, I actually haven't thought about that for a while. It's funny. I was on winter vacation. It was my first audition back from winter vacation. And I was sick. And I said no to it. I was like, I told my agents, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do well. I can't sing it really and stuff like that. And they're like, just, you know, we think you can tough it through, just do it. And so I went, and they were looking for a very specific track. Mamma Mia is a show that ran for 13 years. And people think that that kind of show, it's going to feel like a machine where like you just go in and you're, it was a completely different experience than originating a show. Cause like my entire rehearsal was with the dance captain in a room, like swaying by myself and singing like the soprano line by myself, and then you're all of a sudden you do a put-in rehearsal, which is you're the only person in costume and everyone else is in their street clothes and they're all kind of marking it through, and you have to like give your full out, and then you go into the show that night. So it's very weird to be plugged into a show that's been running. Mm-hmm. But but that was just an awesome family. I think it's just because it's such a happy show that it was a very easy transition into it and a very welcoming group. But that audition, I think it's because they were auditioning, have been auditioning people for 13 years. And if you know ABBA songs at all or Mamma Mia, it's just like a big party on stage. And so they want people who will have fun and be able to improv and stuff. And so I think I did the scene and the song with people. And then our dance audition, I'm sure the people teaching it, like the choreographer and stuff, after doing it for 13 years, doesn't want to hear the Mamma Mia song over and over again. So I think we did our dance audition to a Rihanna song. And I was like, what is this real life? But at that time, I guess it's always, you know, when it rains, it pours in a way. And so I had already been planning to go do a regional show up at Long Wharf Theater. It was a play, and I was so excited to do a play because I would love to do a play, you know. And so I was already planning to do that, and I went into the audition the week that, how contracts work is if you don't give them enough notice, then you have to buy yourself out, which means pay them to replace you because for the hassle. And so I think I went into the Mamma Mia audition and did that on a Tuesday, and Wednesday was the last day I could, like, get out without having to buy myself out, and of course I didn't hear until Thursday. And I was sitting on my couch at home, and my manager and called, and they got my agent on the phone. We was through a call, and they're like, how would you like to be on Broadway? And I was like, so that was fun, I guess. Yeah, that was super great. But then I had to pay this theater, this regional theater, like $5,000 to, like, replace me. It was kind of crazy, but I shouldn't have said that amount, but sorry. but, like, you know, it's always, but, like, with blessings always come, you know, how you're going to get it. But for me, it was very important. I was like, I know this is ensemble, but this is, you know, my dream to be on Broadway. So that was an easy decision for me. But so, yeah, that's how that came around. And then I went to watch the show for the first time that week, and then I started rehearsals. And that's, like, again, it's so, but, so, like, whenever new ensemble members would come into The King and I, and they would be going through this rehearsal process where they're just downstairs in a room learning the entire show with the dance captain, the stage manager, and then they get this one rehearsal with everybody. I like knew how like scary that was, and to just not be a part of the family yet, and like every time someone in Mamma Mia, like in my first week or anything, would just like even say like two words to me or be like, how are you, know, that literally, like, I would carry that with me for days. And so, like, just having had that experience, and also having had the experience of like being an understudy, like, I totally knew how to handle what an understudy of mine would need. And so, like, I'm just glad that I had those experiences beforehand, so I knew what other people would need or be, yeah, appreciative of, I guess. Yeah. Oh. Fight. No, I'm just kidding.
Please, I just want to say thank you so much for coming to give a talk, and you're truly a good ambassador for I'm not only Pioneer High, but the University of Michigan, the city of Ann Arbor, and the global world. So I work in the area of diversity. I'm also an actor, theater actor.
Uh-huh.
They call me William Shakespeare.
Oh, yes.
Two questions quickly. The first question is, I'm wondering whether you know my friend Stephanie Stiles, that graduated a year after you.
Very well.
Good. Okay. I get some emails from her every now and then. And the second question is, do you guys get together every now and then as you know the alumni female support group, you know, kind of support each other in one way or the other?
Alumni of what? Of the University of Michigan or?
Yeah, the alumni from University of Michigan from the musical theater.
Yeah, I mean. Man, wouldn't that be nice, a support group?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I have like 18 different support groups with different kinds of people. Yeah, but I mean, some of my closest friends are from school, and a lot of them are from people not even in my class. You know,
yes.
I was very close to people in classes above me and below me, and so the more support you give, the more that you receive, and you shouldn't be doing it for that. But I think that who better to talk about things in the industry with and the people who are going through it as well. And also I have support groups of people who know nothing about theater because that keeps you balanced.
Yeah.
And, or people, you know, my, you know, best friends are people who are in completely different stages of their theatrical careers or whatever like that. So, but yeah, definitely like the relationships and the friendships that we make as we go along, you know, that's, we were talking about earlier, like this Broadway community, and I realize more and more now it's not just about, I know this person and I see these, you know, it's really a camaraderie. It's once you've done a show 8 times a week, you know how to support and appreciate all the other people who are doing it. And with every show that I've done, you know, at first I thought, oh, a network, like, you know, everyone creates a network at their jobs or whatever, and it's the people that you know and you work with. But really the network is like the people who I could depend on day in and day out at the theater with me. And I have like several from every show that I've done who I can count on every day for anything. My best friends. And as I do more and more shows, that network grows bigger. And it's not just a social network. It really is a support network. And so when I go to, like, I just went to the opening night of, like, Cats on Broadway. And, of course, it's, like, seeing all these friends and, like, supporting people. But it's also, like, really reconnecting with relationships that you've developed. And it really is a small community when it's there. And it's a really cool community to be a part of and to be welcomed into. But you have to, you know, everyone earns it in a way. Because not just by getting a job, but, like, really... Every job, it's a lot of work. And so you just appreciate everybody a lot more.
Thanks
yeah.
so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
I just wondered, you've been incredibly busy. Have you had time to audition for any TV or movie work? Or do you have a desire to pursue that angle of the business?
Yeah. I think I've been definitely, you know, and that's what one of the reasons I'm going to do this show in L.A., one thing I put out into the universe was, like, I would love to take, you know, meetings in L.A. and stuff like that and go and figure that out for a couple months, but I don't want to go there and with no job, you know, leave there. I would love to have a job. So this just was perfect timing in that way. So I'll be doing meetings and stuff out there, but there's a lot of TV and stuff that happens in New York. The tricky thing is that when you're doing a show 8 times a week, and especially, like, a high-profile one, the casting directors and the TV film, a lot of them came to watch the show. And even though, you know, I have good relationships with them, they know that I can't leave for a week at any point to do a show because you're doing it, you know, or to do a TV show. So you could, when you're doing a show 8 times a week, maybe do, like, daytime spots or, you know, like, little parts, but you can't even audition for a big role in anything on TV or film because they know that you can't leave contractually. So, the comrade, the guy who I was doing the show with every day, he had the job of doing How to Get Away with Murder on ABC before we did King and I. And so there was like 4 or 5 months when he was filming season two of that, where he had to fly to L.A. to film for a week, then come back and do King and I for a few days, and then back and forth. And that was so, of course, taxing on him. But also, for me, I was making out with a different guy every day, like, you know? So, and that's like, crazy, too. Uh-huh. So that's, like, but that definitely made me closer with those guys in the show. But also, like, you know, he had to come back and really we had to depend on each other to refine how we did the show every night. And TV and film, that fascinates me, and it would be so fun for me because it's just a totally different medium, you know? Like, theater, we do the show the same story every night, but it's living and breathing. And with TV and film, you do everything, like, a couple of times, and then you're done with it forever. But it's also, you know, the sad thing about theater is it's fleeting. Like, unless someone has a bootleg video of it, or you'll never be able to experience it fully how it should be experienced ever again when it's closed. Versus TV and film, you're supposed to experience it how you see it on the screen. So that would be super fun for me, mostly because I have no idea what I'm doing with that. So, like, you know, that's always fun for me to do something that is new. So definitely, that would be fun for me. I talked to my agents and managers, and I was like, if we could, like, do a comedy next, that'd be awesome. Because there's a lot of, like, agony and tragedy, and
something lighter.
Yeah, yeah. And so that would just be nice to, I think those muscles in me were very used up in a good way, but I would like to cathartically do something else. Maybe, so.
One last question.
Oh, gosh. Hi, Ben.
I went to high school with Ashley. And,
I think we cheated off each other in calculus or something.
Yeah. like everyone here, it's great to hear how you're doing, and obviously
you're so
very
funny.
Proud. But I know you have a lot of humility, and so I wanted to ask you about maybe one of those moments you're not so proud of. When you're on the big stage and you've got millions of people, and of course you rehearse everything, there must
millions,
be cases where you or people you know forget lines, or they trip over, or, you know, make mistakes.
Yeah.
You have any good stories?
Oh my gosh, countless. Ben, you know me. I like would trip on my way to like math class. I'm like, man, I'm trying to think of like the good ones, especially with live. I mean, like, gosh, there are so many. But I think the funny thing about, I'm asked a lot, do I get, like, nervous? And the funny thing about what we do, I was talking about with a castmate earlier on, is, like, our job, the biggest requirement is to be able to deal daily with anxiety and nervousness. Like, I think brains are starting to, like, fascinate me, like, the actual brain. And, like, just, like, you know how, like, a drummer, like, with his kit, like, can focus on all different sounds and everything? That's something that my brain could never really handle. I, like, started, by the end of it, I had two compartments in my brain where, like, I'd be singing this big song, and I would be watching myself completely burn and die, like, while it was happening, while I was doing it. But it's, like, a totally different part, you know? And, like, that's so weird to think, you know? Like, I was so nervous every day, but that became part of my daily. It'd be weird if I wasn't so nervous, you know? And you'd learn how to deal with that. But, I mean, if you know, in the show, you saw there's this huge boat that comes out and all of this, like, this big stuff. And we never had to stop the show during previews. So previews are, we had a month of previews. And what that is in a Broadway show is that you open the show up to an audience, a paying audience at night, but in the day you're still rehearsing. So we would, like, change stuff and redo stuff all throughout the day and then at night do the show. And so it would change throughout previews. And by the time you open, the show's frozen and you can't change it anymore. We never had to stop during previews for the boat, for anything big. The only time we almost had to stop was there are these, like, beautiful vines that came down during the romantic love scenes. And I had these tassels on my robe. And as I'm running down to be like, oh, my gosh, like, we have to leave or, like, something. How did I forget the story? I don't know. But I, like, all of a sudden I got, like, tangled in the vine, my costume. And I was like, oh, and I couldn't come down. And Conrad, like, turned around and he was like, what happened? Like, we had to, like, kind of do the scene with me tangled in the vine. And, I mean, one day during the whipping scene, because they run away together and they get caught. I mean, sorry, spoiler, but you can Google it. But Ken Watanabe, he, like, at one point, you know, he pulls me back so he can look in my face. And he's supposed to, you know, just mark it, and I control everything. But I think he was just, like, really into it, so he pulled it, but my entire wig came off. And let me tell you, like, that was the worst. I have a picture, I think, of us after that scene of him being like, oh, I'm so sorry, because It's not just like this underneath the wig. It's like a wig cap. It's like a stocking on your head. And plus my mic, because of the whipping thing, my back is bare. My mic had to be in there too. So I have this lump and this wig cap. And he didn't rip it all the way off. It's just, it was hanging by like bobby pins in the back. And for the rest of the scene, I mean, that's the most climactic scene in the show, where she's like, you know, whip her, like, da, 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 like all this stuff, and he like can't do it, and everyone's like stressed out, and like Kelly tried to like help me, but by trying to help me, she pulled it off more, and like all of the we were all just like in shock. We couldn't, like, there's no recovering from that. But like, people fall all the time. One time, a dog barked in the middle of like the ballet that I was narrating, and I was like, that's the incredible thing about life. In doing the show a year and a half, there's one week, oh God, it's so awful, where me and Conrad, we are like best friends by then, on and off stage. And I think that's what really fueled our chemistry on stage too, just like really good friends. And we could not for the life of us not laugh. For an entire week, there's a point in the song, like the very last quiet, beautiful note of our first duet together, right before we kiss, where we could not stop laughing. And like, it got to the point where we were like, we were so mad at ourselves. It wasn't even like it was like visceral. And like, we would get to the point every night, and then we would start laughing, and we would like get so mad. And it was like so scary. That was like the scariest week of my life during the show. Because it would ruin it for people, you know, of course, you know. And then the best parts were when we would have Wednesday matinees, the student matinees, and people, like the kids, they would be all like quiet and like whatever. And then whenever we would kiss, it was like a One Direction concert. It was like they would start screaming, and like when we would come out to be like, because, you know, they like the young lovers. And I was like, yes, like I love student audiences. We did one show where it was for an entirely, for an autistic audience and their families. And it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. They had the lights up like 50%. And it was just, because the stage is built like a fishbowl in a way, and it was just 3 hours of hearing every human and guttural reaction to everything, and seeing it too. And it was like the craziest, coolest thing ever. And it was also super scary, because you hear everyone's reaction to everything. And it took so much more focus in a certain way, but you also had to, it was so beautiful because we got to like acknowledge it too. But to be singing a ballad and to have 1,000 people like screaming and running up and down the aisles and throwing things and squeezing things, and it was just so cool that, and to have that be the first, knowing that that was the first and probably only theater experience that these people would have and these families would have, that was like one of the most incredible things ever. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, we can go get coffee later. I'll tell you like all the crash and burn stories, because I would like trip all the time. These long robes, I would fall all over the place. The best, one of the understudies one time, we call the my lover's in the show, his name was Lunta or Luntha, and we called this understudy Loon Thud, because we're in our second duet, the most epic. We're running towards each other like for our final note together, and he just bit it. He just like fell backwards into the splits. And I was like, and I had to keep singing. We had to keep singing. It's like, love me, love me, like this huge song. And I was like, I have to make it look like he's, so I climbed on top of him to make it look like it was like the blocking. And we're like singing. That was like the worst thing. I can't believe that happened. Yeah. But like that, I mean, just people are always, things are always happening, yeah, especially with 13 kids on stage. Yeah. And what's amazing is they cast kids who weren't stage kids. These are like real kids, you know? So like, he'd be like, if you're tired, just yawn the whole show. It's fine. And like the first preview that we did, I'll never forget, the youngest boy, I looked at him during like Getting to Know You, and he was like, and I was like, are you, he's counting people in the audience. He's like, because he's just like one. And then after that show, he's like, so Ashley, are we doing the same story every night? And I was like, yeah, pretty much. Once we, you know, are done with previews, we're going to be doing the same. He was like, why? And I was like, wow, that is an awesome question. I don't know. I was like, let's change it. But things would happen all the time with the kids, you know, all the time. And so that was one of the took the pressure off, because when you have these like 13 kids living and breathing. It's like really quite funny. Yeah. They're great though. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's a good thing to end on. That's a good story.
Great.
Thank you so much.